BC Commissioner Mike Copps, and you're listening to WMRWLP in Warren, Vermont.
The following program presents the views of its participants and producers. It does not necessarily represent the views of WMRW or its license holder, Rootswork.
There's a good question. Not yet. It might turn into one. I just heard a bad word that I thought was really funny. Anyway, I should say who we are. This is Jerry from the 4-H Show. Good afternoon, Mad River Valley. And you are listening to WMRW 94.5 FM. And we're streaming at www.wmrw.org. And I want to thank you first for listening. And I want to tell you that we have an underwriter for today's show. It is Whippletree Designs, Vermont souvenir apparel for all ages. And Whippletree Designs is located at the Mad River Green Shopping Center in Waitsfield. And you can reach them by calling 802-496-9694. And I have a special guest today, and her name is Vicki. Do you like to be Dubin Master or just Vicki Dubin Master? And she's a chiropractor and a health coach. She got her degree from New York Chiropractic College. And thank you so much for coming in. And it's a pleasure to talk to you, Vicki.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm so excited to be here, and I'm ready to go.
No, that's good. Well, why don't we start with a little bit about your background, where you're from. And
sure. So I was born in Brooklyn, third generation Jewish. Yeah. I moved to New York State, Spring Valley area, when I was very young, and then spent most of my life as from like teenager on in Bergen County, New Jersey.
Third generation Jewish, does that mean?
So like my great grandparents, my parents, and I are like we all like, I guess they immigrated into Brooklyn before that.
Oh, from third generation. I got it.
I meant third generation from Brooklyn
American.
Of my family.
Jewish.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry
I thought
about
maybe
that.
Your ancestors weren't Jewish and somebody converted along the way and it made you the third generation. Anyway, I got it now.
Okay.
And you moved to Vermont from Bergen
yes,
County?
Yes, we moved in December, although we were lucky enough to get our home, which is now a homestead, in 2019. In the summer of 2019, so we were able to get in under the real estate crunch. We had no idea this was going to happen. We just knew we missed trees and nature and the green mountains of Vermont, and we just needed more of that. So we were like, we have to get a place in the country because we suburbia, you know, outside of Manhattan, which is where I was living. It just there's tons and tons of homes and less trees and greens and lots of pesticides, and it was just if you love nature, it's not the easiest place to live.
Yeah.
So
you bought your house before the pandemic.
Exactly.
Can't believe how lucky you were to do that.
It was luck. It was I could tell you a funny story how it happened.
Yeah.
So I love trees, and we had one beautiful big oak tree in our backyard that I would talk to every day and became very close with, and one day it cracked in half and we had to take it down. And that was when they had just started building next to us a home, and they had torn all the trees down there. So I don't know if you know, but the trees are connected through their roots. So when you start ripping trees out, then the trees around it are affected as well and weaken. And I was so devastated. I felt like I lost one of my best friends. And aww. I said to my husband, we got to get a place in Vermont. This is it. I need trees. I need to be in nature. And that tree literally gifted. I literally named that tree a week before it fell. So that was the gift I got. I think it was the tree saying,
time to go.
Find a place where you can be, where your heart can sing. And this is clearly. Yeah. So then when the pandemic came and I'm a chiropractor, I had a home office in Bergen County for 32 years, really, but the home office was 18, and I had to travel back and forth when the pandemic happened, because my husband, who worked in Manhattan, he didn't have to go to work because they shut down Manhattan. So he's like, I'm going to be up in our, you know, second home. You, good luck to you. You can do whatever you want. I'm like, well, I'm not abandoning my patients at this very, you know, difficult time. I'll just keep working and go back and forth. And it got tiring, and they started putting more and more homes up and taking more and more land down. And I was like, this, I can't do this anymore.
Was that people moving out of Manhattan mostly?
Yeah, they got extremely populated. I mean, it was bad before, but then once the pandemic hit and everyone was exiting Manhattan, that's where they were all going. And it just, I mean, there are so many condo complexes and, you know, it's really not nice. It takes a half hour to go 10 minutes.
Wow.
And so, you know, although everything in Vermont is so spread out, at least you're driving and seeing beautiful scenery versus sitting in traffic, you know, for the same amount of time for something that's right around the corner. So.
Yeah, I don't know what the answer is, but where people go to build houses. I know in Vermont it's a big problem, but then it's like you said, what are you going to do? Get rid of all the trees? Do you know what? About 100 years ago, there were no trees in Vermont almost. It was just, because sheep farmers moved in and cut down all the trees for grazing.
Wow, I had no idea.
But that's how it's reforested since the 40s, I think, they started reforesting the state. And now the trees are everywhere.
That is great. I hope they stay.
We need some kind of plan for affordable housing, but that suburbia plan just doesn't work, and I don't think.
I mean, also the weather here may prohibit some people from coming, which is what is great about it in a way, because we don't want it to become populated like Bergen County or, you know, a suburban type of area. I think it's perfect the way it is, so we'll see how things pan out going forward.
Yeah, the only problem with weather is now that places are warming up.
Right.
People are moving further north.
Exactly.
So I don't know if that's going to...
That's the thing, for real.
So one of the 4-H, this is a 4-H show, one of the 4-H's is humor. So I'm going to ask you a question, just keep that in mind.
Okay, good, I like that.
Chiropractic, is that an adjective and a noun?
Well, actually, that's a really good question. Chiropractic is, I don't know... Well, chiropractic is kind of like what the profession is, kind of like medicine. And chiropractor is what the person is that does chiropractic. So I'm a chiropractor. I'm not sure.
Well, it's funny. I wasn't either because I never thought, well, they don't call it like chiropractism. It's just chiropractic. But then you could say chiropractic studies.
Chiropractic therapy, but... Some people say that word, chiropractic therapy.
Yeah, but so then it's an adjective.
But actually, the adjustment is the verb of what chiropractic is. We do adjustments to the spine. That's what it is, yeah.
Yeah, I've always thought of it. If somebody has back problems, they go see a chiropractor. And that would be it. Like, that's the only reason you would go. But then I was reading, when I was going to interview you, I started reading, and it seems like it's so much more than that.
It is so much more than that. It affects every function of your body, every cell of your body. It's like the most powerful modality, and it's so simple and natural, and it just brings out your inner healing potential with every adjustment. And it's so safe, and depending on who you go to, gentle. What I don't like right now, what I'm seeing on social media is, especially on Instagram, so many chiropractors are just showing themselves cracking people's backs, and it's so much more than that. I mean, a 10-year-old kid could crack their friend's back. It doesn't mean anything, but what it is, chiropractic is specifically working to look to the spine for where there's any subluxations. That's what we call when the spine's out of alignment, blocking nerve flow, and then putting a specific force in to realign that area of the spine, take pressure off that nerve so that the nerve can flow again and bring life to the cells. So it's, and you know, every nerve has three main functions. Well, they control the muscles, 45% of the nerve controls the muscles, 45% of the nerve controls the organs, glands, and blood vessels. Mm-hmm. So what's left for pain? If we take 45 and 45, you put them together, you get what? How much?
90.
Right. So what's left for pain?
10.
10% of the function of the nervous system is pain, and that is all we really can tell, right? So when someone's in pain, that is really a gift, because that's your body saying there is something wrong. You know, please pay attention, do something. Don't just numb it or treat the symptom. Like, look to the cause. So chiropractic is all about looking to the cause. And once, you know, the chiropractor can do the thorough evaluation, find out where the spine's out of alignment or subluxated, and then figure out how much, you know, how long it's been there, because healing, you know, takes time, just like getting sick takes time. And like I said, pain is the last thing to come. So it took time to get that pain. Under that pain is, you know, it's almost like an iceberg. Like, there's an iceberg under the pinnacle of pain. And you just have to, I mean, you don't have to, but it's recommended to really stick with it until the changes are pretty solidified in the body. And then maintaining it also is really smart, because when you put work into correcting a problem, you want to keep it that way. And we're living in a world where the stress is just so out of control, and stress is another thing that, you know, is a function of the nervous system, how we handle stress. So the adjustments actually kind of reset your stress level. They kind of help balance you out so that now you can adapt to your environment so much easier, because your nervous system is rebooted, basically.
Can stress actually upset your spinal?
Exactly. Like, so,
it can.
Yes, absolutely.
Wow.
Huh. Yeah, because there's three kinds of stress. You know, there's physical stress, which we have from the minute we're, even when we're in utero, when we're growing in our mama's belly, you know, we can be in a weird position, or she can be not eating well, or, you know, it affects the fetus, right? Any stress the mom has.
Does the fetus feel stress?
Well, it will be stressed if the mother's under stress, or if the mom has a fall, or if the mom's not eating right. Like, there's so many factors. And then the birth process itself is stressful, whether it's a perfect birth or a terrible birth. It's still a stressor. Coming out of the womb, or being having a cesarean, all those things are stressful. So we're subjected to physical stress from, you know, before birth on, because we're constantly falling, poor posture, like all these things.
Learning. Eating too much, drinking too much.
Right. And then the biochemical stress is the second kind of stress, and that is basically all the toxins that we live in, that we consume, that are just part of our life. That's very, I mean, we know we can do better with all those things, but there's only so much. I mean, some things we just can't avoid, some toxins, and then that affects our nervous system as well. And then the last thing is emotional stress. And so when you tense up, when you're tense or not sleeping well or whatever, it causes your body to kind of go and, you know, get tight. And the nerves are the spine. That's where a lot of the muscles originate. So you're going to be twisting stuff around, and then it's just going to kind of get locked up like that. And so the adjustment instantly can release that. And people, after an adjustment, the typical thing I'll hear is, wow, I just feel so much lighter. And like, they'll walk in sad or stressed or cranky, and then they'll walk out like with this just like a smile on their face. But now there's a new stress, and that's EMF. That also is affecting our nervous system, absolutely affects
and
it.
And EMF is?
Is, you know, the radiation from cell towers.
5G.
And 5G and everything. All the invisible energy that's keeping the technology going, right?
Yeah.
And that affects our nervous system as well. So chiropractic, it just is an incredible way to stay healthy and to get healthy. Although I'm not saying you shouldn't do anything else. Of course, there's other factors that are important.
Yeah. How did you first get interested in it?
I forgot to just say that showing people cracking the on Instagram.
Yeah.
And I just think it cheapens it. And there's other ways to adjust people. We do there's instrument adjusting, there's light touch adjusting, there's cranial sacral type of adjusting, and then there's typical chiropractic manipulation. And I think the more techniques the chiropractor knows, the more people they can serve, because I like to cater to what a patient needs. And if I think they might need something else, I'll, you know, recommend it, but I'll never say, you know, this is the only way, because there's so many ways to help a person. And what was the question?
Sorry. Yeah, we're going to get back to that, too. I was just wondering, listening to you talk, how you first got interested in it.
Oh, yeah, that's a great question. My mom, when I was a little kid, she was a very sick. She had rheumatoid arthritis. My mom was like a beauty queen. She was an absolutely gorgeous woman. She like won all
tell.
These.
Yes.
She like won beauty pageants, and she was always very concerned about her weight. And that's when kind of like Sweet and Low came out, and all these artificial sweeteners. So she would eat a bunch of horrible stuff to stay thin. Like that was her thing. She didn't want to get heavy, and so all those toxic, talk about biochemical stress, toxic substances, you know, they infiltrated her body and specifically her joints. So she developed severe rheumatoid arthritis, and it you could see it happening so quickly, but it was building up over time. Just like I was saying with sickness, it's like when you, by the time you feel it, it's already quite progressed typically.
Yeah.
So she was going to all these doctors, you know, trying to find a cure. But at the time, all they could say was gold shots, cortisone shots, you know, anti-inflammatory meds, which are dangerous to the liver and the kidneys. But she wouldn't give up. And by that time, she was already like in a wheelchair, and she was in her early 40s.
And she was really thin, though.
Not thin. She just was crippled. Her joints were starting to change. She couldn't walk. She couldn't use any of her body.
And all that was attributed mostly to
diet? Well, she didn't
diet?
Know that at the time. But then, so she went to the health food store that had just, we had just moved to Bergen County at the time, and the guy took one look at her, and he goes, "Darling, read this book." And it said, "There is a cure for arthritis." And it was written by Dr. Max Warmbrand. He was a doctor, a chiropractic, a naturopath, and an osteopath. And if you've ever heard of Paul Bragg,
I have.
He's kind of on that same level, the same age. They probably were very good friends. And he was right in Stamford, Connecticut, which was just hop over the bridge for us because it was in Connecticut, and we were like in Bergen County. So we would go 3 times a week. I went with my mom, and it was miraculous. He was doing very gentle adjustments. He put her on like cleansing, like kind of fasts, but she could eat, but just very limited, and did like light treatments on her, and just so much love and support and hope. And man, my mom, like literally her body completely transformed back to normal. And it was miraculous.
You mean she actually was
like, her joints went back to, everything went back to normal. So when someone says it's too late, don't listen to them. There's always hope. Never ever give up looking for answers, and always look to the most simplest solutions, you know, like diet, you know, chiropractic, naturopathy, homeopathy, exercise,
outdoors,
fresh air,
go in the woods, talk
joyfulness,
to trees,
like
trees
exactly,
are fun to talk
swimming
to.
In the lake, in the ocean. But anyway, when it came for me to decide what to do, I always loved helping people, and I wanted to do nutrition because, you know, my mom was healed with that, and my mom's like, if you become a nutritionist, you know you're just going to be a dietitian in the hospital, and that's the last place you want to be. And I'm like, oh my God, you're right. So then she's like, become a chiropractor, because the guy next to us had a home office. She's like, you can have a home office, you can raise your family. I'm like, wow, you're so, that's a great idea. So I kind of went into chiropractic, just kind of, my mom was so smart and amazing woman. She was a great businesswoman, and she was like my best friend. So I listened to her. I went to chiropractic school. And I got to say, that was the best decision I ever made, because I'm a Gemini. I get everything. Like, I like everything. And as a chiropractor, you can really focus your most, you know, your attention on specific things. Like, I love taking care of children in my practice. I'm into nutrition. You know, you could be a sports chiropractor. You could be an animal. There's just so many pathways with chiropractic to focus. But it's all, at the end of the day, you know, the chiropractor should be adjusting you with their hands. That's really what it initially is. And but it's never boring, because if you get sick of one kind, you can kind of put your energy into another kind. And
yeah,
but you know, just caring for people. And
so you do you do children, or
yeah,
do you have children
love,
in your
love
so
it.
How do you, what, why would a child any age?
Like from birth on.
And what
it's
do you
amazing.
Do for them?
Amazing. Well, we do an evaluation, neurological, orthopedic, you know, postural, So a lot of kids are getting, we're seeing a trend of kids being sicker and sicker and sicker at younger and younger ages, and now a lot of that is the toxins, right? What the,
yeah,
you know, the vaccine
build up,
over time, all those vaccines that they're recommended to take are creating so much toxicity, but also diet, and just the way pregnant people are just starting their pregnancy, like the doctors are teaching them that it's a condition versus a natural progression. You know, pregnancy is something that we are designed to have, and giving birth, and so they've turned it into like a medical condition. So fear is really a huge part of it, and that's hurting the children, as you know, throughout their development in utero, but also it's just a really messed up thing. So as a chiropractor, I love seeing moms even before they want to get pregnant, so I can start teaching them about nutrition. And actually, I have a book, and one of my chapters is on pregnancy, healthy pregnancy.
Well, you have a book.
Yeah,
I have a book. We'll talk about that.
But
pregnant women.
But with babies, just basically it's super gentle touch, and it's they love it. You see changes so quickly. Like I've helped babies latch that weren't nursing, that were screaming. Colic is great. Chiropractic helps with colic so much. You know, a lot of babies have problems turning their head because they might have had an injury through birth. And, you know, once they start getting the shots, then that starts becoming a factor that can create stress on the nerve, like severe stress on the nervous system. So, and as a child developing, you know, they're constantly, the changes are happening so fast. So by getting them checked and adjusted if necessary, and again, it's super gentle and kids love it. Trust me when I tell you, they love it because they see the difference. You know, that child will just be so much more ahead of the game, and they're learning from a very young age that health comes from within. Like, we don't need drugs, you know. My kids, I raise them on homeopathy and essential oils and food and chiropractic, and I mean, to...
You know, you said something really interesting that I've never thought about. You said they're treating pregnancy as a medical condition.
They have.
You're right. I never thought about that. And
so the fear is so deep, you know, for these poor pregnant moms. And the best way to grow a healthy child is to be relaxed and calm. And that's one thing that with the adjustments for pregnancy or even before pregnancy is to elicit calm. And when you have a calm pregnant mom and excited and connected with her baby, then that baby is going to just come into the world in such a better place than if they're, you know, being, you know, fear instilled as a mom and husband. And the whole birth process itself is a complete disaster. I mean, I've taken many pediatric chiropractic classes, and basically obstetricians have never seen a natural birth. They are taught how to deliver babies with models, with robots. They've never seen a natural childbirth.
Why is that?
Because it's medicine. Medicine is all based on, you know, pharmaceutical, basically. And, you know, there are good, I'm not saying all obstetricians are like that, but that's what they're taught in school. So if somebody wants to go more into the holistic realm of obstetrics, they really have to find it on their own. They're not going to be taught that in medical school.
Do you see midwives coming back, like starting to get more popular?
I mean, I had a midwife with my three children, and she was one of the first to get licensed in New Jersey, and she's still practicing. I mean, she's incredible. But
how old are your kids?
My oldest just turned 30, and my youngest is 24.
So 30 years ago you did that? Wow, that was so innovative of you.
I mean, I was a chiropractor. Honestly, if it wasn't for chiropractic, I would be a completely different person. My kids would be different, because I learned so much just by being a chiropractor, by going to chiropractic school and learning about the body and health and how amazing we are created to be if we just allow ourselves to take care of ourselves the way we're designed to.
Yeah, and I think it's education.
And it is more. It depends. The world is kind of, I feel like it's splitting in two. Like, before, nobody was really interested in midwifery for their pregnancy, or very few people. And then it started to get a little more popular, but now it definitely is. But then there's that other, like, group that's saying, like, oh, you know, we really need medicine because it's such because kids are so messed up, and so it's splitting very much so, I think, into two directions.
That's a tough argument to make when it comes to pregnancy, because, like you said, I mean, and it's something, they're treating it like a medical condition, and anyone who thinks about that for 30 seconds is going to think, wait a minute, it's not a medical condition.
Somehow women were giving birth before medicine was in the pictures.
Exactly.
We wouldn't be here today.
And they still do all over the world.
All over the world is exactly correct.
Yeah.
I think we have the highest rate of fetal death in this, or one of the highest rates in the world in this country, with all the progression of medicine that we have, which is kind of confusing.
Yeah. And the sudden infant death syndrome, I might have this wrong, but I think I read it's higher in this country than anywhere else. Is that true, do you know?
I would imagine it's one. We have one of the highest rates, I would say, for sure.
And they don't know what causes it. They don't know why. My understanding is, anyway.
We know why.
It just happens. Babies die. Okay.
Yes.
People die.
Not babies. They're not supposed to die. That, I mean, I know in the days before they had good sanitation and, you know, like my, you know, grandmothers, a couple of them died at birth. That was during the Great Depression when there was no food, when the living conditions were horrible, or the, you know, the water was terrible. Like they were drinking probably wastewater, not by choice, but
yeah.
That's not a thing anymore. So really, we don't need all the medical intervention that we're having to have a healthy child. I think the less is more. Less we try to intervene with the natural birth process, the healthier the baby and the mom would be. And that's really where midwifery and even doulas come in, to really support the mom, you know, before, during, and after the birth. And chiropractic is like hand in hand with that. If you can find a pediatric chiropractor, which many of us are, you're really way ahead of the game through your pregnancy. And you know,
so you focus on pediatrics.
I mean, love it. I really focus on everyone. I don't discriminate.
Yeah, but having kids, I mean, that's got to be fun.
It's so much
fun. Making them feel good.
It's so
and
much
smile.
Fun. It's like, you know, this kid's getting the best start of their life that they could ask for. And I just love when I have a patient come in later on in life and they're like, oh, you know, I've been adjusted since I'm a kid. Like, they're just so proud to say it. So think about,
that's
like,
cute.
Now you're bringing your child to the chiropractor at a very young age, and they're going to be like, that's one of the things that they're going to really hold dear, is that you loved them enough and thought about them enough to start them on this health care path at such a young age.
It's got to be good for them.
It's so great.
You know, you said something else in the beginning that I wanted to go back to about pain, and you said pain is a good thing, and it absolutely is. And I know a lot of people that get cortisone shots, and I always think it's because they want to do something like go skiing or bicycling or something, and they have this pain. Oh, well, I'll just get a cortisone shot, and then I'll be good to go. And I always think, geez, is that going to help, like, long-term or even mid-term? Like, you know, what's going to happen when the cortisone wears off? And it seems like you covered the pain up with a drug like that, and then you're pushing your body further, and it's objecting, but you don't know that it's objecting because you're covering the pain up. And the pain is actually a signal saying, hey, you know, something's wrong here. And I just, what you said is so true. Pain is good, and we shouldn't probably cover it up with stuff like steroids.
Right. I mean, I know people that, you know, if you're in this severe pain cycle that literally you can't function, like you feel like you're going to want to kill yourself, like it's that bad, then, you know, sometimes that is not a bad thing, to just break the pain cycle. But you want to be treating your body as if it were in pain, because that pain, like you said, it's telling you, don't do these things. Like, if you have pain when you do a certain thing, then that's hurting your body. So don't do that thing. So getting the shots and then going on, like you said, go skiing or something, that is the absolute, like, stupidest.
It is stupid, and I did it, and I can attest that it's really stupid.
I mean,
really
we all do stupid things, and hopefully we learn from our mistakes.
Do you remember Vioxx? Vioxx,
isn't
the Merck drug?
Didn't they take that off the market?
Yeah, because it killed, I think, John and I had a discussion about it. I think 40, he thinks 80,000 people died from it. And finally, it was removed from the market. So I had a knee problem, and I was going out west on a ski trip. So the doctor said, well, here, take this. You'll be able to ski. It gave me a prescription for Vioxx. And I took it the first day, and I mean, it was amazing. You know? No pain. Skied all day. Loved it. But then I was thinking that night, gee, what's in this stuff? You know, I still don't, to this day, don't know what's in it, but I didn't take it again. Because well, I thought, you know, I don't think this is too smart.
Well, that was a good decision.
Yeah, because if you're covering up pain to that degree, what are you doing to your body? You're just exacerbating whatever the problem is that caused the pain. So you really don't even want to do that. Besides the fact that Vioxx caused heart attacks in people and people were dying. And they tried to get it removed for years. It was a Merck product, I believe. I believe it was a Merck product. And finally, after 30 or 40,000 deaths, they got it. And it was an FDA-approved drug. So how did that happen? You know, where were the clinical trials?
All right. And we're seeing a lot of that now with
exactly
everything that's going on.
Exactly. People are dying.
I think pretty much all medications have, you know, can create problems in the body. They're chemicals that we're putting into our bodies that our bodies don't recognize. So they're doing some, like, the side effects of one drug can be so much more harmful than the actual problem itself. And when you take more than one drug, then the interactions between the two drug side effects are even exponentially higher. And that just keeps, and then you're taking drugs for the, you know, the side effects of that. So it's just, it's like this never ending roller coaster. And it's,
yeah,
you really got to get off that stuff and look and maybe do some detox cleanses and just try to clean that body out and, you know, look for natural ways to care for yourself. And there's so many products right now that are natural that are great alternatives to medicine.
Yeah, and we are what we eat. I mean, just eat healthy. I think that's number one. If you eat good, healthy food, organic food grown, you know, that you know is organic and grow, you know, vegetable gardens are so great. I mean, just, I think what we eat is
but another thing is, like, the FDA tells us what we should eat, and that's not true either. So it's just very hard, you know, like the American diet is not necessarily, I'm not even clear completely on what they're recommending now, but they were saying, you know, grain should be the number one, the largest, you know, part of your diet, and that's not true at all. And they were saying fat should be the smallest part, and protein should be the, you know, animal protein should be the, you know, another small part. But now there's, I mean, fats are so vital,
yeah,
and they make you, help you be thinner, and they help your body, you know, keep you satiated longer. But, you know, you need to know what are the right fats to eat, what are the right, you know, wrong fats to eat, and then the animal products as well. They nourish our body, you know, and, you know, you just got to get them from the right source. You got to get the pasture, graze, fed animals, not the factory farmed animals, because those are messing up the atmosphere and they're hurting the animals. And but I mean, all this veganism now that is coming, is super popular, is making people so sick. And I've seen it in my practice, and I've seen it with my own kids. These young people are so sick.
Really?
Yeah, it disrupts your hormone, you know, because they're eating all the soy. Soy is, you know, one of the most genetically modified foods.
Well, not
only, it
messes
with our hormones.
But this stuff they're making now called Beyond
Food. You're right, that's soy.
If you read the ingredients, it's just, there's no food in it.
Exactly.
There isn't even much soy. I mean, it's chemicals. They put chemicals together to make it taste like food.
It
doesn't even taste like food, but
it's really horrible. So, yeah, like, it's affecting our sexuality, our sexual development of young people, right?
Yeah.
And then also creates so much toxins in the body and, you know, depleting us of all the nutrients that are vital for us to grow and thrive on.
Yeah.
All the all the fat-soluble vitamins that can only be found in animal fat type things. And we need those desperately, and the minerals.
You know, it's actually common sense. I mean, you need all of that. And I think when people get weight problems, it's not one food group. It's too much of just eat less, I guess. You know, but I know people give up. There's a new diet that I have a friend on. What is it called? keto. Have you heard of that?
Yes.
What do you think about that?
I think it's good for a little while, but not only a little while, because you can wreck. My daughter went on it, and her gallbladder got really inflamed. I think it's okay to be on for a little while, but I think you should just eat fat every day. Like, I try to eat. So Weston A. Price, that is an organization. It's a nonprofit, westonaprice.org. It was... You can find so much information about healthy living on that website, on the right foods to eat, on the, you know, good farming practices. We really have to support our local farmers more than ever right now.
Yes.
And, you know, we're being lied to on so many levels about the planet and, you know, climate change and stuff. And they're blaming the farmers and the cows, and that's such a huge lie.
I agree.
And they're putting these farmers out of business that are, you know, going to end up killing themselves because this is their livelihood, and they work so hard to help the community to have good food to eat and to take good care of their animals and their land. And, you know, it's really it's a crime. It's such a horrible crime. So that's why I love Weston A. Price. So please go on their website, because they're all about, like, food farming and the healing arts. And those are the things that I'm most passionate about. I've become kind of a small farmer. I have sheep.
Great.
Yeah, I have chickens. I have turkeys. We started a homestead.
And, that's really great.
But, I mean, I have friends that have been doing it for years, and because I'm involved in Weston A. Price, I've just met such incredible people and learned so much about what's going on in the food industry, and they are trying to create, you know, food shortages, and that's completely unnecessary. So if you, you know, think about it, please go on their website. You can actually find a chapter near you where you can get a food list of local farmers that are doing good practices, and you can actually connect with your local farmers and make sure that you support them and buy their food, and that will keep them in business and help your community if these food shortages really happen like they're predicting them to happen.
Yeah.
You can avoid that completely just by focusing on local farmers and, you know, supporting them by buying their goods.
Yeah.
So important right now, I'm telling you. It is really, really important. You won't have the problems that they're predicting, because the food shortages are really going to be around the processed foods, right? And that's what they're trying to get everybody to eat, processed foods. And that's the worst for you. They're high in sugar. There's literally no nutritional, well, very little nutritional value. But, you know, the organic vegetables and fruits that you can get from your local farmers or farmers markets, and then of course the good meats and milks, you know, the raw milk is incredible, like
that's
butter.
Hard to get.
It is, but Weston A. Price is a resource, so look.
So does Weston A. Price get into, because I've read from the environmentalists how the agricultural industry, the runoff from manure is polluting all the rivers and streams, and that's why you have to do something about, you know, animals. But and I don't know, don't most of the farmers I know, and I was wondering if they have something about that in the Weston A. Price
I'm sure they
website,
have. Oh my god, they have so many amazing articles on their website, and they've been around for a very long time. And I really don't think that's true, because although I'm not the expert, I'm just new in all this, but I mean, when the cows are pooping, they're pooping in the field, right?
Yeah.
And then they're trampling it down into the ground. And then that manure is so rich for growing things. So, like, typically the farmers will take that manure and put it in a huge pile and let it age for 1 year.
Right.
And then you're going to go to that farmer and say, please, I need some aged manure for
exactly,
my garden.
Yeah.
And
so
then you'll grow the best food. So it's really, it's not, we are being lied to on so many levels, right? I mean, but
that just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. I mean, they're either trampling the poop into the ground, which is helping trap carbon, so it's helping the atmosphere, and then the farmer is throwing seed down, you know, grass seed, so that the cows can eat their grass, and then the rest of it, anything overflow, is going into a big pile, so that for compost for people in the community. That's how it is with my local guy. That's what we do.
That makes sense. Like, I know here in Vermont, Lake Champlain was having a problem with algae blooms. I think they still are. And they were saying it's from the runoff from the agricultural land surrounding the lake. But I don't know. And I don't know.
Well, we don't know. Like, if those, if they're like more of conventional farmers, right? And they're using
they probably
pesticides
are, yeah.
and, you know, genetically modified seeds, then that those poor cows are miserable right now. They're so sick. They're constantly giving them antibiotics because they're not being grazed on good land. So that if they're near a factory farm, yes, you know that's right. And those factory farms should not even be in existence. It's disgusting the way these animals are cared for. It breaks my heart, really.
It does.
And then, like, you know, there's all this stuff about, oh, well, you kill a cow. Like, it's so sad. But think about the animals that were raised with love and care and lived on this grass for years. And, you know, they have one bad day in their whole life when they are put down. And how much food are they providing?
And we're all going to
die. I mean, how many meals are they giving off versus these, like, Beyond Burgers? I mean, it's ridiculous. You can feed hundreds of people from one cow, right?
That's true.
And, you know, and it's almost like you say a prayer when that cow goes and thank it, and that cow is thanking you for giving it a good life. So it's like this whole circle of life thing. That
I agree.
Yeah.
You know, I stopped eating meat when I was 14 because I saw a video about industrial farming, and it was so heartbreaking. I decided that's it, and I became a vegetarian, and then that's hard to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think a lot of teenagers go through that phase, which I kind of did, but then I started eating fish. And now I would eat, like, when you, especially here in the valley, and I think pretty much all over Vermont, you can go to the farm, you can see the animals, you know how they're raised, you can talk to them. Like, we get a turkey from a farm right around the corner from our house, and he has the turkeys, and he just got them in, and he says, oh, the turkeys are in, and you can go, like, talk to them, and they're running around, and they're happy. And I mean, you know, it makes you feel good.
Like, really does.
Yeah.
And, like, my friend has a farm where she raises a lot of sheep and has a couple of cows and birds. And just when I go on that farm, I feel so elated because those animals are completely free range. They're so happy. And
then when, such a great life.
When she does cull, like, any of the animals, like, it just tastes so good. Like, you can taste their joy almost, right? It's in their meat and it's in their, you know, in the energy of the food. Whereas if you're eating, like, a factory farmed, you know, meat or something, then it's just not the same. Like, the energy is in that too, the negative energy.
I totally agree.
So not just that it's probably has, tons of antibiotics because they get sick. They're not meant to be sitting in a stall or standing in a stall for their whole life eating grain, which is the, you know, you can feed a little grain to animals sometimes, but you don't want them to be completely fed on grain. That's just terrible for them. They're not built for that kind of nutrition.
And if they have grazing land, they don't need, why do they even need it? Like, if they're out grazing, I mean, it seems to me, I guess in the winter, maybe it's tough.
Right, that's when they do have to get, you know, different food. But, I mean, it's okay because they've been nourishing themselves all the rest of the seasons with the right stuff, so.
How long have you had sheep?
Probably about a year and a half, maybe.
Yeah. Are they fun?
They're so cute, but, yeah. I kind of feel bad because our property is not great. We're trying to build the soil up, so.
Yeah.
They don't always get to graze as much, so we give them a lot of hay.
Yeah.
But, I mean, at least that when they get out there, they're really happy, and they're just the sweetest animals, and they provide so much for us. They give us wool, and some of them can give milk.
That's great.
You know.
That's got to be fun. And chickens, we keep thinking about getting chickens, but I'm worried about the coyotes and the predators.
Chickens are so easy. You get everything from the chickens. They are, like, the most permaculture positive animals, because, like, literally you have their feathers, you have their meat, you have their eggs while when they're alive, which is incredible. But even the feathers fall off, right? And then they're helping your land. They're eating all the ticks and the bugs off the land. They're, you know, pooping on your land. And then they're so good because they'll go right into their coop. They they don't want to be out, you know, so you just build a little coop for them. And then they go in at night, and
you never have a problem with predators.
You might, but you know, if you have a dog, you know, your dog will scare them away. And then we did have an issue with a hawk.
Yeah.
So we hung these disco ball like kind of ornaments over like the awning of our chicken coop.
Yeah.
And so that light would reflect when it would spin off and the sun would hit it, and that would that would kind of blind the hawk, so it wouldn't be able to bother them.
Huh.
You might lose a couple, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
It's so worth it.
We're almost there. Well, the other thing is what do you do when you go away?
You might have to get somebody to help you with that. But I know that's the thing.
That's a problem. Boy, did we get off on a tangent.
Not really. This is all health. This is all health.
I know, but I did want to ask you a little bit more about chiropractics here. I'm talking to Vicki Master, and she is a chiropractor, moved to Vermont recently. And I did want to ask, I was reading on your website actually about athletics. And do you treat many athletes?
Yes, I'm coming back. So, I'm coming from Bergen County, right? New Jersey, which is right outside Manhattan. I don't know what it's like in Vermont. I'm new here. But all I know is if you're an athlete in that area, they are working you so intensely. Your body's getting, pounded constantly. And it's almost like shameful to have an injury.
So you're talking about professional.
I'm just even saying high school or even
college,
middle, even these little elementary school kids who are like great soccer players. They're getting injured very easily. And so you want to go into a sport, first of all, with a healthy structure, right? You want your spine to be healthy when you go in, because if you have a twisted up spine going into a sport, you're just going to create more problems, right? So then that's one thing. But then once you're, in the sport and you're working and playing constantly, you have to make sure that you're just maintaining that really good spinal structure and getting adjusted if your spine gets, out of alignment or subluxated. And, I love weekly adjustments personally, but, you can do whatever you want. Kids heal much faster than adults because their cells are turning over much faster.
Yeah.
So I think every athlete should definitely be getting checked at least, at some regularity.
Yeah. Do you have any opinion, like marathon running, is that good or maybe, maybe not? Or like people who run long distance,
It's hard to say. Like, I'm not a sports chiropractor, but, it does take, your body takes a beating and you have to really have good form of how you run and you have to have really good nutrition and you have to know how to rest and how to train. So you really need to know what you're doing if you want to do something. You don't just jump in like... from a couch potato and say, okay. Obviously you have to build up, but then you want to be feeding your body the right food as well as, taking the right time off and stretching and things like that.
Yeah.
And the right shoes and so many factors involved. And I think a sports chiropractor, like people that do sports chiropractic, those are good people to connect with if you really want to get deep into sports.
Yeah, and I read most, I guess, professional athletes have a sports chiropractor. They're part of their regiment.
So I took a sports certification course. It was 100 hours. I didn't end up testing for it because I just didn't care that much about getting certified. I just wanted to have the knowledge and the references to go back to see because it was so much. But there's an Olympic, doctor team, right, for the Olympics, and a lot of the people that would go through this chiropractic, sports chiropractic program would be, be the best of the best, and they would be on the Olympic team, and they would say how, during the Olympics, like, they'd have the physical therapist, they'd have the orthopedics, they'd have the massage therapist, they'd have the chiropractors. The longest line was always the chiropractors. Because
is that right?
Always, because they would just, it's so
feel good,
powerful. The adjustment's so powerful, I can't even put words in, but I wish for the world to get adjusted. I really think so many of our problems would not be here, because when you're connected to your nervous system, like literally you can make better decisions, you can think clearer, you can move more easily. It's an incredible, we're designed for, chiropractic, way back, they were called bone setters.
Really?
So I think it's been around for many, many, many more years than we realize. and you know, D.D. Palmer, he was the founder of chiropractic in 1894. He founded it, and then his son, B.J.
Was that here in this country?
Iowa, yeah.
Huh, I didn't know
and
that.
And the first chiropractic college was in, was called Palmer.
Wow.
In Davenport, Iowa, that's where.
For some reason, I would have thought it was in Europe, but it's funny, so.
But now chiropractic is international,
yeah,
for sure. There's colleges,
yeah,
everywhere. And I mean, if anyone ever wants to become a chiropractor, I can happily recommend like my two favorite colleges. I don't know if I should be saying them over the.
Yeah, you can. Just don't say what their tuition is.
Oh, okay. I mean, I love Sherman Chiropractic. I didn't go there, but if I had known, I would have. Sherman Chiropractic College is my favorite. It's
Where's
in
that?
North Carolina. And.
And why? What?
Well, they're very... So chiropractic is a philosophy, an art, and a science. And the philosophy part is really such an... Believe it or not, such an important part of chiropractic. Because you can burn out just standing there, like, cracking, you know, whatever, doing... Working on people's bodies. But when you get that passion and understand what you're doing is so powerful, then that, like, fuels your fire. And these chiropractors that graduate with a strong philosophy, like Sherman chiropractors, have such high volume practices, and they are like, they're working till they die. Like, they love what they do, and they're like super magnets. Like, people just want to be in their presence and get adjusted by them. And so I love Sherman, and I also love Life. Life Chiropractic is in Atlanta, Georgia.
And
that's
for the
a great
same
one.
Reasons?
I mean, I like Sherman better. Life is kind of bigger, and they also do a bunch of other modalities like nutrition, and they keep expanding.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they have a very strong philosophy, but also you get a great education in both schools. And I mean, New York Chiropractic was great too, but their philosophy wasn't as strong as the others. I mean, I got a great education, and I'm a good great chiropractor, but I had to get that philosophy outside of after college.
I see.
After chiropractic school, so I'm glad
and
I found that.
And by philosophy, would that entail like connecting to nature? Or
there's like 33 principles of chiropractic. And
wow, that's a lot.
Yes, and... It's just basically saying
I want to ask you to name them all.
I know, I don't have them memorized at all. But I do know that it's based on the fact that, you know, we were created by God. And then, you know, the first... So we have a direct connection to God, right? Or when we're alive. Mm-hmm. And in part of that life that flows through us is coming through our... You know, our life does flow through our nervous system. Mm-hmm. If you, so, you know, when the sperm and the egg come together, within 2 weeks, the first system that's formed is the primitive nervous system within 2 weeks of the sperm and the egg coming together.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, it looks almost like a sperm. It looks like the brain is like a little ball, and then the tail is the spinal cord. From that primitive nervous system, it's called the neural tube, pop out little buds. Those buds are our organs, literally popping out. So we know that if the first organ was our, you know, primitive nervous system, then really that's what's running our body. So
center of it. I didn't realize chiropractic was so connected, and I don't even know, this might be the wrong assumption, to religion. Or is that just one?
I mean, there are some that are very, you know, I guess Catholic, Christian. I don't think it's really religious. It's more just like, you know, there's this higher power that I call God. You can call it anything you want. That's created us, right?
Right.
And the more connected we are to that, the less we have to worry about things, because, you know, we were designed, I do believe, to be happy and healthy and fearless and strong. And, you know, man creates all the opposite things to try to control, right?
Yeah.
So that's it's more of a spiritual, not like a religious thing. To me, they could be very different.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. That's why I was, and that makes a lot of sense, what you just said. And spirituality, I think if we all focused on that a little more, we'd all be happier and healthier.
And we're all brothers and sisters at the end of the day. It doesn't matter what your color, what your religion, you know, what you look like, where you're from. We are literally all created by the same entity, and that makes us brothers and sisters. And, you know, if we can look at each other with that kind of love.
Yeah.
And know it's in there somewhere, then I think we can really make, you know, the world a better place.
Yeah, and we all want the same things. You know, we all want to be happy.
And we're
happy
all the
and
same, really. Yeah. At the end of the day, we are all the same.
Yeah.
And, you know, the government, their goal is to divide us. Because as we divide it more and more, we're weaker and weaker. And the weaker we are, the stronger they can control us. So the key is really to bring us together and to find our similarities and to really just be a, you know, a beacon of light to each other.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. And I think that happens with what you and I are doing right now, communication and discourse and understanding each other. And, you know, that's what I think has fallen apart the last few years. You know, people are failing to even have the desire to understand someone who doesn't have the same viewpoint or opinion. And
then, if you remember during the pandemic, we were told to isolate at home.
Yeah.
To wear masks, not to leave our house, to be scared of germs. These are all things designed to keep us, you know, isolated. And that is the opposite of what we needed. The opposite. And it's still the opposite of what we need. We need to love each other, to come together, and to even share information that the other person might not like to hear. But you know what? You're planting a seed.
Yeah.
And really, it's all such common sense. Like, that we're being lied to, and, you know.
And it was such common sense that what they were doing was the wrong thing.
So what we did, like my people did, well, I stayed open, and a lot of my colleagues closed during the pandemic. I stayed open.
You did stay open?
I stayed open. I was adjusting with my hands on everybody, and
good
I felt
you.
Like it was the time in the world when people needed it the most. Like, people were so scared, and like I said, the adjustments reboot your nervous system, so you get out of that fear, like fight or flight state when you get adjusted.
Yeah.
And
did you get any pushback or?
We were supposed to mask and wear our rubber gloves and spray
but you were
the
allowed tape. So you never had to close?
No. Huh. As long as we did it the way they told us to do it.
Because Vermont. I believe.
No,
I
they never told us.
But
I'm telling you that 90% probably of the chiropractors shut down. I was like a very minority of chiropractors. And to me, that's what kept me going. Literally, like.
And that's probably what kept a lot of the people you helped going.
And especially the young people. Like, I care so much about the children because they're the future. And they, you know, it's so hard to be a young person now because of how they're being brainwashed with social media and everything. It's just so intense right now. Like, these people are so sucked into their phones.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
how old's your youngest child?
24, but even with her, I see that. No, I see it with her more than any of my family members. Like,
I have two nieces in college, and they both say the kids are all on antidepressants.
Right.
Everybody they know is taking antidepressants. And I said, you got to be kidding. what's up with that? I mean, what in the world?
It's become a normal thing, and it's accepted, and that's what, you know, they want to be like their friends. And, you know, that's they're being promoted it nonstop, constantly, 24/7. From every angle they're looking at, right? You can't get away from it. And, you know, that's why parenting right now is really hard. You got to be such a strong, confident parent and really stick to your guns with your kids and, you know, make time together where you can be outside, away from technology and just be like, okay, you can have... I would just think, like, after school, it's probably... Let them look at their phone for a half hour or whatever.
Yeah.
And then... That's it. Like, you know, I know it's hard. It's really hard. But I just see younger and younger kids getting their cell phones, and that is damaging their brain. Like, kids are getting brain cancer like crazy now. No one's talking about it.
Yeah, and the rest of their bodies.
And then those wireless headphones, those things freak me out. It's like literally, you know, the EMF is going deep into the brain cells. I use the wired ones.
Yeah.
But my own kids, two of my kids use the wireless, and I'm like, I bought you wired ones. Please, will you use them?
Oh, well, yeah, no. I guess if you bought it for me, I'll use it.
Kids. But, well, we're almost to the end. Before we
we'll have to do part two.
Yeah, we will. We'll do that. But you're in Windham? Is that you're a bit of a hike
Chester.
From Warren?
Right.
Chester, but you have a really good website that has a lot of really good information that I was reading just this morning. So what is your website that people could access?
Okay. So my practice was in New Jersey called Full Life Chiropractic. So it's fulllifechiropractic.com is my website. I kept that website because there's tons of content on it. And I just direct people to that website.
Besides, it's a great name.
I know. That was my name.
I love that name.
Now I'm just myself, Dr. Vicky or Victoria Dubin Master. I also have a YouTube channel. I think it's Victoria Dubin Master or Dr. Victoria Dubin Master. I'm not sure. And I even have a book.
Yeah, what's the
on
name
Amazon,
of your book?
My least favorite company, but anyway, my book is on Amazon and it's called The Miracle Within and it's by me as well, Dr. Victoria Dubin Master, and I just tell people the things that are going to help keep them healthy and give people faith in their own bodies, you know, innate healing potential, because we are so much stronger and capable and unlimited than we're being taught,
yeah.
You know, by all the doctors and news people.
Yeah, this just says Dr. Vicky TV, but it's on the website. So if you go to the website, you can just pull up all the videos that you have.
Yeah, that's not all of them. But if you really want a lot more, you can go to the Dr. Victoria Dubin Master. But there are a bunch on there. So that's a good place to start.
Okay. So this is fulllifechiropractic.com,
yes.
Well, thank you so much for this interview. It's been a lot of fun. And you're right. We'll have to do part two.
Yes. Thank
so
you
much
so
to
much.
Talk about.
I am so happy you invited me here.
Yeah.
And thank you for everyone that came on and listened. And I hear that you have 2 weeks after to listen.
Yeah,
well,
you can listen 2 weeks after. You just go to WMRW.org, scroll down to the Spinatron link, click on that, and a bar will come up, and you put in the date and time of the show, which is 9:22, and then 12 noon, and the show will come up. Yeah.
Okay, great.
So,
thank you, Jerry, so much.
Thank you,
this was so much fun, and this place is great. I'm so glad
you're
here.
I know. Isn't it cool? I love this radio station and the market. And cook
oh, there's
great
a great
food
market.
And,
yeah, I can't wait to get food.
Yeah, and Gary Jackson will be in it, too, with Weekend Warm Up, and he's always great to listen to. Don't forget him. And thank you all for listening, and I will talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.